This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everybody? It's Bo here with another Westworld TV Talk Mini. We got episode 5 of season 4, and I gotta tell you, this show, it continues to be great. Like, this season has been really solid, and it really kind of makes me sad that so many people have left it, because I feel as though... Yeah. All right. So I've thought about this. I was actually thinking about this last night. Season 3 was really bad. Okay. I mean, just it was rough. It was awful. It was terrible. And it is so almost holistically unnecessary. There's very little value that we got from season 3 that we were able to kind of, you know, gain reward. Season, this is just completely different. Like, we're completely different. This feels like Westworld. Like, this feels like season 1-esque Westworld. And I guess it makes sense, right? Because we've come full circle. Now, the hosts are the ones that are going to the park and doing to their masters the terrible things that was done to them. You know, one of my biggest criticisms of this season and really the series as a whole has been that they've been removing the human characters and creating more and more host characters. And while that has bothered me, this episode did something very interesting, because what it did is it ramped up that human element in a massive way. You know, as I was mentioning last week, when you have fewer humans, you have less stakes. But what they've done is now literally everyone else is a human. Like, the background characters are all humans. And this is a whole nightmare scenario where we as an audience actually connect more to the NPCs, to the background characters, than to our main characters. It's fascinating. I would even argue that to some extent what they perhaps wanted to do, or perhaps what the ask was in season 1, which is for us to care about these, you know, characters happening in a story, never really fully connected, because, or at least for me, because of course they were just robots. They weren't real. And it was more of, in season 1, this kind of exploration of, like, what is it about us as humans that makes us like need these avenues or do these terrible things or have these kind of, you know, these parks, these places for us to kind of get out all, you know, of our black hat energy, so to speak. Like, why is that, you know, that it's a fascinating concept. And what does that say about us as humanity? Now it's like completely different. Now it's like, oh my gosh, this is a horrific life experience where you are now being used by these machines for them to, you know, do the exact same thing, try to work out their own humanity by trying to mirror the worst of what they've seen of us. And so, like, you know, as much as it was terrible seeing everything that happened to the hosts in season 1, there was always kind of this backhead reminder of, like, I mean, yeah, and it's awful, but they are robots. They do come back. Humans don't come back. You know, like, when we see kind of this blood bloodbath everywhere, we know this is a massacre that is not, you know, like anything that we've seen on Westworld. I mean, the closest thing would be the end or around season 2 when Dolores/Wyatt was going around and, you know, often the board members. But anyway, okay, so the world is awful. It is now run by Hale. We've got Christina, who has kind of come to her senses, I suppose, thanks to Teddy. We don't really fully know what Teddy is all about. We don't know if he's working with the resistance. He seems to be. He seems to be putting her on a path that is going to kind of support the resistance. And so I'm very interested to see what Teddy's backstory is and how he got here and, you know, what exactly is his motivation. That's a little up in the air, and that's fine. It's nice to have some things to theorize about and kind of figure out. But yeah, no, she's figuring out that, you know, she's not just a writer of, you know, stories, but she is the writer of all stories. When she goes into the back, you know, back rooms and accesses the game, it becomes clear she's not just one of several writers. She is the writer. And my thought right now is that, as we've seen throughout this episode, the hosts are going through a similar process to the maze, except now, instead of coming to self-awareness and coming to consciousness, they're actually discovering a conscious. They're actually discovering the concept of right and wrong, and having to recognize their own actions is what's putting them over the edge where they're offing themselves. And so my thought at the moment is that Christina is essentially the conscious, like the conscious, the good side of Dolores, the thing that was holding Hale back, right? Even Hale was like really motivated by the horror that humanity did to itself. And so it's weird. You might think like, okay, well, if that was really her motivation, then why has she now done, you know, created a place where everybody does terrible things to humanity? I think the only way that she could kind of achieve those goals, and she had to remove a portion of herself, that center of the maze, the new center of the maze, so to speak, had to be removed. And so she did that and did it in the form of Christina. And perhaps as kind of a way to give that cathartic, power to this character that had so little power before, she puts her in this position where literally she's writing all the stories. Instead of, you know, Dolores wanted to tell her own story, now she's telling everybody's stories. But because Dolores is the embodiment, or rather Christina is the embodiment of Dolores' conscious, she's kind of horrified by this idea. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. My hope is that by the end of this season, we'll get some sort of like Hale Christina merger that ends up being a resurrection of, you know, Dolores Prime. I could be wrong. We'll see what ends up happening. I like the fact that Teddy is like going out and getting her. Teddy with agency, y'all. Like, I mean, like, I'm telling you, I'm digging it. I'm digging Teddy with agency. The Billbot needing to kind of reconcile with his own humanity. So what does he do? He goes and finds the human that he's based off of. Now, one thing that is not yet fully clear is whether or not the William that we saw at the end of season two, if that, you know, that was being tested for fidelity, we don't yet know if that is this Billbot or if that's supposed to be something else. I think that it's probably him because, you know, the way in which that season ended, they didn't quite know exactly how everything would be. But I think it mirrors now what we see in the Billbot, right? Like where he is, you know, they were testing for fidelity and everything else. But for whatever reason, they've also changed him. So it's not just like he's not a perfect copy. We know that the perfect copies kind of degrade. And so maybe it's because of what Christina did to him, or rather not Christina, but what Hale did to him, that has made him slightly different. And so he's on this odd path. He's like a domesticated Man in Black to some extent, right? Like he's not this wild dog anymore. He's like this very, you know, tamed. He's gone through, you know, all those little training clicks and everything else. And as much as Christina says, or I keep on calling her Christina, as much as Hale says that she wants, you know, her people and the AI to, you know, make their own choices and to ascend, she still had a hand in all of their creation. And so, you know, there is still this level of control that perhaps she hates that she has, but is still there. And we see it play out in Billbot. I loved the conversation between him and the William head. And so I'm really excited to see where that ends up going. My guess is that by the end of it, William will be back. I think we'll see the Man in Black in full now going and being able to play a new game where he gets to be the hero. And so I think that'll be interesting to see. Oh, one thing about the game. So it was interesting when they started referring to the game, like, I won the game. And then you had, like, you know, the Billbot going around and checking up on everybody. To me, I was like, oh, this makes sense, right? Because if in fact Hale was using William to help craft this new world, William would want to do so in a way in which there's a game that can be won. Because that was kind of his big frustration with season one, right? Is that there was no, you know, the game was not for him and the game could not be won. And so the idea that they now created a game that could be won might also come across as something incredibly boring to William or to the Billbot. But of course, we just see that, in fact, this just means that it's hunting down the outliers. We got a clarification of what the outliers were. I think it's what a lot of us suspected. And it's good to see that, you know, that the resistance is out there. They're pulling humans whenever they get an opportunity to bring them out into the desert where they can't be tracked. We can assume that next week that Maeve will be back. And so we've got everybody. They're in the present, which is the future. And I don't think there's any last curtains to be dropped. I like the fact that they did all the big reveals mid-season so that we're now just kind of in the action. I think this was a good balance of doing the Westworldy goodness of, you know, what's really going on and then kind of slowly revealing that story. But then also getting us to a place where now we can like just really enjoy, you know, I guess this clash between, you know, what remains of humanity and these robots trying to come to terms with their own humanity and whether or not they actually have it and what that actually means. That being said, I am aware that probably one of the big reveals they could pull on us is that all of this is just a simulation going on in Bernard's mind. I have a feeling they're going to do that at least one time somewhere, possibly like give us a full episode and then find out that episode didn't happen. I'd be shocked if it was the entire season though. So I don't know. We'll have to see how it all plays out. I'm excited. Like I mentioned, the show continues to be great. Hope y'all are enjoying it. Let me know your thoughts. You can head over to Twitter, use the hashtag WestworldTVTalk to share up there. You can find all of our contact information and more at tvtalk.fm. That's going to do it for me, but don't worry. I'll be back in a flash.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.